We continue our learning. We are in Tanis, Perek Dalid, Mishnah. Now, by way of introduction, we spoke about the Karban Eitzim, and the history behind that is that when the Jewish people returned from Bavel, from the Golus Bavel, and were beginning to have to now bring Karbanos, so there was no wood. There was no wood in the Beis HaMikdash. So in order to make sure that we could start the mitzvos of the bringing of the Karbanos, families donated wood. They said that they would volunteer to contribute wood, and because of this, the Nevi'im at that time said that in the future, these families will continue to contribute wood, even if the Beis HaMikdash, the Lishkas HaEitzim, which is where the wood, which was the wood chamber, even if it would be full, we would have special dates, and these families would continue to contribute. This you have written in Nehemiah, in Perek Yud. So on the days that these families brought wood, we mentioned this. According to one opinion, they brought a Korban Nedava, and it became a day of celebration where there's no fasting and no eulogies and no malacha on those days. And some say now they didn't bring a Korban. It was the wood itself that was the Korban, and they would place a portion of that wood on the Beis HaMikdash itself, on the Mizbeach itself, and that would be, and that they would burn that as if it were a sacrifice and there was no animal. One of the questions which we did not answer from the previous Mishnah is, how is it that you have a private yontif and all of a sudden the Anshei Mamad don't have to be involved in the various customs that we expect of them? So one answer to this question is that the Anshei Mamad, this halacha only didn't apply to everybody. Anshei Mamad who were not involved in the Korban Eitzim, they practiced whatever they need to do with the fasting and the Kriyas HaTorah and the Tachanunim, etc. But the family that brought the Korban Eitzim, so they're the ones, if they were part of that Mamad, they would have a Yontif. And others say, no, this was a festival for everybody. If people are bringing Korban Eitzim on this particular day, all of the Anshei Mamad, everybody, and even people in Yerushalayim would come, like when it comes to Bikurim, would go out and greet the family that was bringing the wood. So this became a bris milah we have. Let's say we don't say tachanun, that's considered. We assume that Eliyahu is coming to the city, and we did this when it came to Bikurim as well, that everybody would come and honor the people who were bringing them. So the same thing was true when it comes to the Korban Eitzim, and it became a yontif for everybody. So the Mishnah here begins like this: Zman atzei kohanim v'ha'am tisha. The wood, the atzei kohanim, the wood festival of the kohanim and the people. This was celebrated on Tishra, means nine times a year. So the nine different times during the year that the families that we're going to list in a moment would donate wood for the Beis HaMikdash, based on the fact that these families were the earlier ones who donated the wood when we came back from Bavel. Be'echad be'inisan b'nei Arach ben Yehuda. On the first of Nisan, the family of Arach from the Shevet of Yehuda. And this family is mentioned. These families are mentioned in general in Ezra, in Sefer Ezra in Perek Beis, and in Nehemiah in Perek Zion. Now, Yehuda and Binyamin were the only Shvatim that returned from Bavel, besides obviously the Kohanim and Levim. All these families are coming from those Shvatim. When he came from Bavel, this family, Arach ben Yehuda, from the family of Yehuda, they were the ones who made the first contribution of wood. This was the first donation of Eitzim, of a Korban Eitzim, and it was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that wood that was brought on Echad ben Nisan lasted a while, until the 20th of Tammuz, when the next family, as we'll see, Bnei David ben Yehuda, brought their donation, their contribution of wood. Vesrim v'Tammuz, so on the 20th of Tammuz, Bnei David ben Yehuda. So these were the descendants of David HaMelech, Ben Yehuda, from the tribe of Yehuda. They brought on the 20th of Tammuz. Bachamisha Ba'av, on the 5th of Av, Bnei Parosh Ben Yehuda. These family, once again, in Nehemiah Perek Zion and Ezra Perek Beis, Parosh Ben Yehuda, they brought on the 5th of Av. So not that long afterwards. You think about the first one was brought on Echad Ben Nisan, and the next one not till 20th of Tammuz, but the third one, the third donation from the 20th of Tammuz to the 5th of Av wasn't that long. So the wood that Bnei David Ben Yehuda had to bring did not have to last that long. B'shiva Bo, Bnei Yonadav Ben Rechav, and on the 7th of the same month, of the 7th of Av. So think about that. Bnei Parosh Ben Yehuda, the wood they brought only had to last for 2 days. But Bnei Yonadav ben Rechav, they brought on the 7th of that month. And once again, these donations were based, and it didn't have the same range of time between one and the other, because we're just following what was done historically. When did people bring wood? When did these families, and when it came to after the Gullus Bavel, when did the families bring? On what date? So we keep those dates. Now, Bnei Yonah Dov Berechov was a family of Gerim that descended from Yisro. And they were given the land of Yericho until the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And then that area was going to be given to whichever Shevet would have the Beis HaMikdash in their territory. But this family, Yonadav ben Rechav, says, no, we're not going to have, we don't need Yericho, we don't need this gift. And they went out into the Midbar Yehuda and they studied under Osniel ben Kenaz. We know Osniel ben Kenaz, the first, we read about him in the first parak of Shoftim, and then Yonadav ben Rechav comes up again in helping Yehu in destroying the worship of Baal, which is in Melachim Bey's Perek Yud. And then Yonadav also comes in Yirmiyahu in Perek Lamed Hey, where he tells his children not to drink wine. And Yirmiyahu tells them because the family is listening to their father, so they would always have a special bracha. Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Hey. So that was Yonadav ben Rechav bringing wood on the 7th of Av, after Bnei Parash ben Yehuda, who brought on the 5th of Av. Then the Mishnah says, Ba'asorabo, on the 10th of Av, only 3 days later, Bnei Sana'a ben Binyamin. This is a family who also returned from Bavel and from Binyamin, not from Yehuda, but Binyamin. Ba'chamisha sarbo, on the 15th of Av, Bnei Zatu ben Yehuda, also mentioned in Ezra and Nehemiah, the Imahem, and this is the 15th of Av, which is a significant day, as we know from the end of this Masechta, the Imahem, Kohanim, Ulevim, Chomisha, Tabishifto, and anyone who wasn't sure of his family, didn't know what family, he knew his family brought wood, but he didn't know which family he was from, so he didn't know what date to bring them, so they would join this Zatu ben Yehuda family in bringing wood and donating wood as well. After all, the 15th of Av was celebrated as the Yontif anyway, even without bringing of wood, so therefore it became the general day of Karban Eitzim for all families that were uncertain when their particular family brought. And that's what it means. V'imahem kohanim u'levi'im v'kol mi sheta b'shifto. Then the Mishnah says, who else? U'b'nei gonve eli b'nei kotze k'tzios. And along with them, so the family, say, of literally b'nei gonve eli are the pestle smugglers, pestle like mortar and pestle, that's something you grind with, and the family of kotze k'tzios, the fig cutter. So the Gemara discusses what happened, that in Eretz Yisrael, they at one point they didn't allow the bringing of Bikurim to Yerushalayim, and they had shomrim that were there. The Bar Tanur tells you the Gemara, Gazru Oivim Shmad al Yisrael, but there were Jews who wanted to bring Bikurim. So what they did was they had their baskets of Bikurim, they covered them with dry figs in these wooden kalim shaped like a pestle, which was used for pressing dried figs into cakes, into an igulei devela, and they carried them on their shoulders to Yerushalayim. So when the showman said, what's in there? So they say, no, we're taking the dried figs to the mortar so they can press them down with the pestle. So therefore they got this name of Gonve, Eli, and Kotze Tzios. This way they were able to deceive the Shomrim because of the pestle, and therefore they're also called fig cutters as well, because they had knives that they were going to cut the figs with as well. At what point did this happen? So we assume that the Gemara doesn't tell you when this Gezerah was, but the Tosefta assumes it was during the time of Malchei Yavan, when Eretz Yisrael was under Syrian rule. So then the Mishnah says, Be'esrim bo b'nei pachas Moav ben Yehuda. On the 20th of this month, so now we're 5 days later after the 15th of Av, it's the 20th of Av, b'nei pachas Moav ben Yehuda. So this family, also mentioned as Ezra Nehemiah. Some say this is Yoav ben Tzruya was part of that family, and that's who they were. Be'esrim be'el, on 20th of Elul, it's a month later, B'nai Adin ben Yehuda. They brought, And then be'echad b'teves on the first of teves shavu b'nei parosh shnia b'nei parosh they came back again. What does that mean? So when they came back from Bavel, the wood that was brought on the 20th of Elul, so obviously it lasted till all the way to the first of teves. It's a long time because you think about these dates. How esrim be'elul b'nei adam and Yehuda, and then b'nei parosh comes back again on the first of teves. So apparently no other family had brought wood, so they needed wood that would last a very long time, from the 20th of Elul until the 1st of Teves, and B'nai Parosh are back, but they also, and they're going to bring it, and that wood has to last now from the 1st of Teves all the way to the first time around, which is the 1st of Nisan, so that's also a very long time, but they made up for the fact that their first wood donation only had to last 2 days. If you remember, B'nai Parosh were the ones who brought on the 7th of Av. But they're the ones on the 5th of Av, which only had to last till the 7th of Av, 2 days later, when Yonadav ben Rechav. So they certainly made up for it at this point, bringing enough wood to last from the 1st of Teves now to the 1st of Nisan. So Be'echad B'Teves lo haya bo ma'amad, on the 1st of Teves, though. So either way, even this was a Yom Tov for that particular family, let's say, but either way there was no Ma'amad. Why? Shaya bo halal of the carbon, most of the carbon eitzim. Because here you had everything, meaning there's no Ma'amad at all. Even when you had carbon eitzim, so you could have Ma'amad, or remember, depending on which tefillah we're talking about. But here on the first of Teves, there's no Ma'amad at all, because you put together halal. So halal takes over Shacharis. And on the first of Teves for halal, and then carbon musaf. This is Rosh Chodesh Teves, but it's also Hanukkah and Karban Musaf because it's Rosh Chodesh and Karban Eitzim. So that took over basically all of the tefillos. There were no Ma'amadus at all. Now, the fact that it's the first of Teves and it's Rosh Chodesh, that Hallel would not override Ma'amadus if it were a typical Rosh Chodesh Hallel, because there the Hallel of an ordinary Rosh Chodesh does not take over Ma'amadus simply because that's only a Minog. But this Hallel on the first of Teves is a Hallel of Hanukkah, which is a takana, a real halal, and that takes over Ma'amadus. So now I'm covered. Since it's both Rosh Chodesh and it's Hanukkah, so the halal takes over Ma'amadus at Shacharis, and the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh is the Karban Musaf, that takes care of that, and Karban Eitzim, so therefore everything is basically covered, and there are no Ma'amadus at all. Perek Dal and Mishnah Vav. Chamisha Devarim Eru Es Abuseinu B'Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. Vachamisha B'Tisha B'Av. So there's five things that happened to our forefathers on the 17th of Tammuz, and five on Tisha B'Av, and this really follows the general rule that we say, where we assume that bad things happen. You have certain dates that are auspicious for certain things, or not auspicious for certain things. And even though we're speaking about the Beis HaMikdash and its destruction and breaking through the walls, etc., so other things unfortunately happened on the day as well. So the Mishnah here begins with B'Shivas Arba Tammuz. B'Shivas Arba Tammuz Nishtabru HaLuchos. So the Luchos were broken, as we know. Moshe came down from Aris Sinai to both the Luchos. Uvatel HaTamid. And the daily offering, the Korban HaTamid, was discontinued. And we assume that we have a Masorah that was in the Gemara and Chav Chesem at Aleph, that's something that happened on the 17th of Tammuz. And that happened at the time of the, some of the Chashmonaim, those who descended from the Chashmonaim, Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, were fighting with two brothers fighting with one another, trying to become the king of Yehuda, of Judea at that time. And Hyrcanus was inside Yerushalayim, Aristobulus was outside, and attacked and besieged the city. And we needed, karbanos, you needed sheep for kvasim, for the Karban HaTamid. So the people who were inside would take, give out gold coins, send them down the wall, and this way people would hopefully bring a keves and bring it back up over the wall. But one day, a person who was outside said that they'd said, you know, let's give them a pig instead. And it says that the pig put its nails into the wall, and all of Eretz Yisrael, 400 parsa by 400 parsa, began to shake. And at that point, the Shacharis and Bein Arbaim was discontinued. Others say that we're talking about Yenuvuchadnezzar's 3-year siege of Yerushalayim before the first destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. HaMikdash. There was a Rav at that time, and by the 17th of Tammuz, there were no more sheep you could bring at all. And Rashi claims that it was the government who did not allow the bringing of the Korban HaTamid. That's what it means, Batal HaTamid. Either way, our tradition teaches this was on Shavuos HaTamid. So the breaking of the Luchos, Batal HaTamid, Havka V'Havka Ha'ir, and this is that the Yushalayim, the city of Yushalayim, the walls were breached on the 17th of Tammuz, 3 weeks before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, but the walls of the Yushalayim, we assume that happened when it came to the first Beis HaMikdash, so that was on the 9th of Tammuz, and not of the 17th, but since the last the second Beis HaMikdash is the one that's most recent in our minds, and Chacham didn't want us to have to fast on 2 days, so therefore that's our tradition, although Yushami claims that both of the breaches occurred on the 17th, but people were confused and made a mistake in the calculation, and when Yirmiyahu wrote this down as the 9th, it was really based on people's miscalculation. It was not really accurate at all. Different opinions about that, but we certainly fast on the 17th. This Sarath Apostamos Esa Torah. Apostamos was a Greek general, and he burnt the Torah that was in the Azor. This was a special Torah. This was a Torah written by Ezra, and it was authoritative in the sense that people, anytime you wrote another Sefer Torah, you copied it from this Sefer Torah. And some say maybe he burned all the Sefer Torah that he found. Either way, this is something that happened according to our tradition on the 17th of Tammuz. Vehemid Tzelem Bahechel. And Apostamos, who burned the Torah, placed an image in during the Greek occupation. He put a Tzelem in the Hechel. And some say, no, that's not referring to Apostamos at all. This is a reference to Menashe, says the Bar Tanur. Pligi ba Morabi Yushalmi. Chanamar Tzelem shel Menashe ubebayis Rishon. Myri, dealing with the Bayis Rishon, and it was Menashe, Chizkiyahu's son, V'chad Omar, Tzelem shel Apostamos, Sheyom Mishiare HaYevanim, Misare HaYevanim, and it was Bayis Sheni. Different opinions when we're speaking about the Tzelem. And then we have Tisha B'Av. V'Tisha B'Av, Nigzal Avoseinu Shel Yikansu La'aretz, that we're crying the story of the Meraglim. It was that time that we were crying, and we have a tradition, that was Tisha B'Av, and Hashem says, you're crying now, you'll cry for the future, in the future as well. V'charav habayis barishon v'ashinio. Those are three, two. That's one, two, and three. First base that makes was destroyed. That is written in Malachim, Malachim Beis Perek Chaf Hey. That's written literally. That's written explicitly rather in the Torah, in the Navi. In terms of the second base that makes, we don't have that written down, but we assume that the day is ordained for one tragedy, we assume that it's true for the second. Second one as well. The language used is, once we have something happening on one particular day, so we assume that it's going to be bad in the future. Megagolin zechus liyom zakai v'chova liyom chayav. V'nilkada Beitar, the city of Beitar fell on Tisha B'Av. And we consider that as terrible as the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash itself in terms of its enormity. And v'nechrash ha'ir, and the city of Yushalayim was plowed after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Yushalayim was desolate for 52 years. Yushalayim was flattened, was raised like a plowed field. And this Micha had, this was Micha's nevuah in Perek Gimel, that Tzion would be plowed. So Tzion sadete charesh. So, and we assume that these last things happened on Tisha B'Av, and the Mishnah concludes, Mishenichnas Av Nimaten B'Simchan. Because of this, when Av begins, we diminish the amount of Simcha, and that plays itself out regarding getting married, eliminating our business transactions and construction. Erusin we allow, Kedushin we allow, but not Nisuin, as long as we don't have a Sudas Erusin.